One of the important words in the Bible is the word kingdom. If you were to sum up the word kingdom, that simply means the rule or the reign of God. The word kingdom begins in the book of Genesis, and it is a word which will extend throughout eternity. For just a moment, I want you to think about Adam and Eve in terms of kingdom or the rule of God. God created Adam and Eve, and it was God's rule that Adam and Eve obey him. He was over them. He was their sovereign. But what did Adam and Eve do? They rejected that rule of God. They ate the forbidden fruit. Move forward a little bit in Hebrew history, and what do you find? Abraham's descendants became a mighty nation in Egypt. And what happened? You find that the Egyptians took control over the Hebrews. And you find, as you think about Pharaoh and what he did, that Egyptian captivity interfered with the rule of God. That was a problem. You move forward a little bit in Hebrew history, and once again, what do you find? You find, and this is where we are as far as our study on Sunday evenings, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. About 60 days after Israel left Egyptian bondage, they come to the base of Mount Sinai. They're there. And as Moses goes up on the mountain to receive some information, God said to Moses, I want you to communicate some things to the people. And God said, among the other items that I want you to tell them, I want you to tell them that you can be a kingdom to me. Do you see the connection? God was saying to his people, I will reign over you. How well did that go? Well, it didn't go that well at various times in Hebrew history. As you move forward in Hebrew history, you find there came a time when the Hebrews specifically rejected God's rule over them. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, God said to Samuel, we mentioned him this morning when we were thinking about Hannah. God mentioned to Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. Once again, this is my rule, and the people have not been willing to comply with that. When we start looking at the New Testament, what do we find? Jesus came into the world. The Jews should have submitted to the Lord, to the rule of God, but what did they do? They called for the crucifixion of Christ. It's not surprising then when we open up the New Testament that we find a number of references to the word kingdom. That foundation is laid in the Old Testament. Now, you may know that as you study the word kingdom that there are some places in the New Testament where kingdom and church are synonymous, and that's true. But it is not true that every time you find the word kingdom that that can automatically be understood to mean the word church, because sometimes the words are distinct. Kingdom does not always describe church. The general sense of kingdom is the rule or the reign of God. And when we think about the church, it is the place where the people go when they want to submit to the rule of God. That's what the church is. People who have decided to submit themselves to the rule of God or the rule of Christ. In this lesson, we want to better understand the rule of God as it relates to the New Testament church. And we begin by asking, if God's kingdom or God's rule is a political rule, a political system, when you start thinking about a political system or a physical system, one of the things that comes to mind is warfare. Oftentimes, when it is a kingdom of men, people will fight. And when you think about the earth and you look at people who have various ideas about God and a kingdom, you do find that there are people who are involved with religious warfare. Jesus, though, answered that question a long time ago. In fact, before he goes to the cross, John 18, verse 36, he is before Pilate. Some questions are being asked. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, that's pretty plain. The Lord affirmed that he does have a kingdom, he does have a rule, he does have a reign, but he says, it is not of this world. Now, if the Lord had said that, that probably would have been enough. But Jesus didn't stop by simply saying, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, if that were the case, he said, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. The Lord did not come to establish an earthly kingdom, a political kingdom, a secular kingdom. Paul, one of the apostles, as he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Why? He said, we're not interested in guns, tanks, grenades, and those kinds of things. Why? Because the kingdom is not of this world. 2,000 years ago, God's kingdom was not of this world. God's kingdom is not of this world today. If another 2,000 years or 20,000 years pass, his kingdom will still not be of the world. Jesus reigns as king, and he reigns over a spiritual kingdom. Now, when you start looking at the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you begin to find that Jesus was doing not only some teaching, but he also offered a number of miracles to confirm his word. And as you start looking past that a little bit in the first chapter of Acts chapter 1, verse 3, You have there Luke telling us that Jesus appeared for a space of about 40 days after the resurrection. And as you continue to read through the book of Acts, chapter 1, you find a reference to the kingdom in Acts 1, verse 6. That's important. Jesus talked about the kingdom. He gave all those signs. And before he goes to heaven, he's talking about the kingdom. The disciples of Christ, Acts chapter 1, were thinking about the kingdom. And this wasn't surprising because the Lord had said several things about that. In his preaching and teaching, Jesus had often talked about the kingdom. Several of his parables might be referred to as kingdom parables. Several of Jesus' teachings also involved some information about the kingdom. As you continue in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the apostles, Acts 1 verse 8, "You fellows are going to receive the Holy Spirit in a short amount of time." Now I'm going to stay with Acts chapter 1. I'm going to come back here, but I want to interject at this point some information from the Old Testament. Because information from Daniel 7 verses 13 and 14 lines up. It is in perfect harmony. It helps us understand Acts chapter 1. In Daniel 7 verse 13, the text says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold," he says, "there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man." That sounds a little bit like Jesus. And that's who Daniel was talking about. And it says, "He came even to the Ancient of Days," that would be God the Father, "and they brought him near before him." And then 17 is, or 14 is the key verse. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom." There it is. "Given the kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." What Daniel described in Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, is fulfilled in Acts chapter 1. Jesus goes back to heaven, and when he goes back to heaven, what happens? He is brought before the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and what does he receive? He receives that kingdom, that spiritual rule. Not going to reign on a throne somewhere in Jerusalem in the future. He didn't do that in the past. He was presented with that spiritual kingdom because he has a spiritual rule. Acts 1. And Daniel 7 go hand in hand. Acts 1 also goes hand in hand with some additional New Testament references. Most here, I think, are familiar with what Mark said in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Back in Mark 9, 1, we have some information from Jesus. Jesus said, "There's some here of them that stand by." He said, "You will not die, you will not leave this life until you see the kingdom of God come." And he said, you're not only going to see the kingdom of God come, but he said, you're going to see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, that was true for the people 2,000 years ago. The Lord's words are either true or false. If they're false, well, then we have some issues beyond information about the kingdom. But if those words are true, there are some here who will not die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. Then that kingdom did come about 2,000 years ago. Now, there are people today who claimed that the Lord came, he intended to set up a kingdom, the Jews rejected him, and then the kingdom was put off. The kingdom will be established at some point in the future, but that can't be true. That can't be right if Jesus told the truth. Jesus said nothing about a delay. He said there are people here who will not die until they see, they experience, they realize the kingdom has come. And that's what Daniel predicted in Daniel chapter 1. Jesus goes back to heaven, Acts chapter 1, and Daniel said he's going to get the kingdom. So either God the Father got it right way back when, or he didn't. In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, when the kingdom comes, you're going to know it comes because of the power. He said, you're going to be able to see. You're going to be able to somehow witness the fact that the kingdom has come. Well, going back to Acts chapter 1, do we find any power in the first chapter of Acts? As you look at Acts 1:5, what's said? In Acts 1:5, the text says, from the Lord, the apostles were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means to immerse, overwhelm, to plunge, to submerge. Jesus said you're going to be submerged, you're going to be dipped, you're going to be overwhelmed in the Spirit's power. Well, that certainly sounds like the power in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. If we move down just a few verses, let's see, several have turned over there. I need to flip over there as well. Let's see what we have in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This continues to build on what the Lord had said. He's talking to the apostles. And in that eighth verse, we have some information about how the gospel was going to spread. He said, but ye shall receive, notice the word, you're going to receive what? Power. Well, that's the same word that was associated with the kingdom, Mark 9, verse 1. You apostles, you're going to receive power. When's that going to take place? He said, after, when the Spirit's come upon you. And what are you going to do? After you have that power, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my preachers. Where? You're going to preach in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and then eventually you're going to make it throughout all the world. Did the Holy Spirit come? Yes. Did the Holy Spirit offer power? Yes. When did he come? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Was that power visible? Yes. They all began to speak with tongues. The Spirit descended, and it was a flame-like appearance on the apostles. Jesus went to heaven, Acts 1. Daniel 7 says he received the power. Acts 1:8 promises that power. Acts 2 fulfills that power. When we think about kingdoms, kingdoms are often associated with power, and that's certainly true of Jesus' kingdom. The kingdom of God came about 2,000 years ago, and knowing that helps us understand verses like Colossians 1, verse 13. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, he says, you've been translated, you've been brought into the kingdom, you've been brought into the rule or the reign of God because you are members of the church. When Jesus returns, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, he's going to surrender, he's going to deliver up the kingdom. A lot of people think that Jesus is coming back and he's going to set up the kingdom. That's not true. Rather than set up, he's going to hand it over. He's going to deliver it up. Before becoming a Christian, people who are accountable for their sins are under the devil's dominion and the devil's power. When we decide to become a Christian, though, we decide that we're going to submit ourselves to the rule of God. We say no to the devil's rule and authority. And when we submit to the rule of God, when we're obedient, we're brought into that place which is under the rule, the authority of God, that is the church. When we think about the devil and men, the world has all kinds of institutions. Some of the institutions are good. When we think about the devil and some institutions of men, obviously many of them are bad. As we go through our life, we may at various times be a member of several different organizations. But the only organization that's going to matter in eternity will be the New Testament church. The church consists of people who have turned to God and said, we recognize your rule, we recognize your authority, we recognize your power, and we are submitting ourselves to your rule. That's what it means to be a member of the church. Now, this information would seem to be so fundamental, so basic, that nobody would misunderstand it. But that's not true. Most of what we're looking at tonight is not understood by most people in the religious world. And I'm saddened to say, it saddens me greatly, to realize that most people don't understand the basic idea behind the kingdom. If people don't understand the basic idea behind the kingdom, they're going to come out with some other wrong conclusions. Before we get to those conclusions, though, let's look at it from this perspective. Imagine that at some point in the future you visit a country. And this country is governed by a king. That is the system of government. One man is in complete control. And as this sovereign, as this king rules that country, and his rules matter, as we live in that country, we're exposed to some of the rules, and we decide that we don't like some of the king's rules. There's some things that really bother us. As we consider the king's rules, we think we have some better ideas. Well, this is what the king has decreed, but we have some improvements that we can make. And we decide that we're going to revise the king's rules. Or maybe we decide that we're not going to follow some of the king's rules. How well do you think we would fare under that king's kingdom if we decide that we're going to start adding, subtracting, and revising the rules? The kingdom of Christ is the rule of Christ. Now let that sink in. The kingdom of Christ is the rule of Christ. If people openly and fully reject the rule of Christ, what do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to be lost. You cannot reject the authority of Christ and be saved. It just isn't going to work. When we come to the concept of kingdom, we're also exposed to the concept of authority. And that's why Jesus was able to say, before he goes back to heaven, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. I am sovereign. I'm over all. And if you want to be part of me, if you want to be part of the saved, you need to be part of the kingdom. You need to submit yourself to the rule of God. Now, let's take this and tie it back in with what we talked about earlier. Remember Adam and Eve? They got into trouble. Why? Because they rejected the rule of God. We look forward a little bit, and what do we find with Pharaoh? Pharaoh rejected the rule of God, and how well did he fare? Not well. He died. We look at Israel. that nation where God said, I want to make you a kingdom. Exodus chapter 19, 5 and 6. I want you to submit to the rule of God. That's why you're here at the base of the mountain. What did Israel do? Not long after, they're involved with the golden calf. Remember that? And then we cited the reference from Samuel. What do they say? We want an earthly king. And they end up with Saul. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. We read those words a time or two over the last couple weeks. But God said, keep my covenant. What will happen? God says, if you keep my covenant, you're going to be a kingdom. You submit to my rule and you are going to be my people. I am going to bless you because you have submitted yourselves to my authority. Moving forward to the New Testament era, what do we find? Jesus came, what did he establish? His kingdom. Stated another way, Jesus came to establish his rule. The Jews looked at that and they said, we're not interested. We want a political deliverer. We want a political Messiah. And what happened? Like Pharaoh, like the Jews, like Adam and Eve, they paid a price. About 40 years after Jesus left this earth, the Romans came against Jerusalem and they sacked the city. They burned the place down. When a person rejects the Lord's authority, his kingdom, there is only one option, and that is eternal separation from God. Heaven will not have good people in it. Heaven will be for those who submitted to the rule of God. That's always been true. The kingdom, the rule of God, is one of the most important points in the entire Bible. And that's why when you start reading not only the Old Testament, but especially the New, you begin to find this word kingdom surfacing again and again and again and again. It is a crucial concept. Satan is, of course, diametrically opposed to God's rule, and that may account for what we often see in the world. When you begin to look at our religious neighbors, you find oftentimes many ideas which conflict with God's rule. How many of us have heard that being obedient to God is being a legalist? I don't particularly like that charge, but it's made sometimes. Or if we say that we need to be obedient in all things, a person says, well, you're like those Pharisees from the New Testament era. It's sometimes said God really doesn't care what we believe. Jesus is just the big picture. All that's required is believing in the Lord and accepting Christ. Or sometimes we're told that one church is as good as another. The differences don't matter as long as we all look to Jesus as being the Savior. We're told sometimes that worship, how we do it, doesn't matter. We're told that we don't need God's approval for what we do. We're told that if a practice is not specifically prohibited in the Bible, then it's okay. We're told that people do this or that because they like it. It's their preference. It's the way that their family has always done it. It's the way that every church does it. We're told that this is what people want. We're told, attend the church of your choice. Take all those items and a dozen more that I didn't list and compare them with the rule of God. God says, this is my rule, this is my system, and men come along and say, we're going to do something else. It can't work. It didn't work under the Old Testament, and it's not going to work under the New. There is perhaps no better passage to demonstrate this than what we find from Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. There are 13 verses that I want to read. I'm going to start in just a minute with Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, and I'm going to go down all the way to verse 13. But for this reading, you find, as you look at Matthew 22 and this idea about the kingdom, you find two different ideas expressed here. So I'm going to split Matthew 22, verses 1 through 13, into two parts because there are two distinct points. In verses 1 through 7, you have what I would call here a complete rejection, a full repudiation of the kingdom, where people say, we don't want any part of God's rule. We're going to reject it in its entirety. And let's look initially at those first seven verses. And Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, The kingdom, there's that word again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for a son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and even killed them. And then verse 7. But the king was wroth and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Here's a king. He made this great offer. People outright rejected the invitation. We will not submit to your authority. What was the result? Burn them. Destroy them. If you're going to reject my authority, you must perish. And that's true in the spiritual realm. If you have people who fully reject the kingdom of Christ, and there are people who would do that, atheists, other religions that in no way reflect Christ, they are going to be lost. But then Jesus, beginning with verse 8 and going down through verse 13, talks about the kingdom and Christ's authority from a second perspective. And let's look at that now. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the partings of the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage feast. And the servants, they go out into the highways. They gather together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. Then beginning with verse 11, we have the key information. But there's a contrast. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he saith to him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into the outer darkness, where there should be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now this man had on the wrong clothing. But have you ever considered that this fellow did get a few things right? Did he know where the wedding was? Yes. Did this man know when the wedding was? Yes. He came to the right place, came to the right wedding, came on the right day. It seems like, as you read what Jesus said, he got almost everything right. But there was one issue. He didn't wear the right clothing. It's not that he shows up naked. He's got some clothing on. But what happens? He did not recognize the rule, the authority of the king. And maybe he was like some people today who would say, Well, I thought, I preferred, this is what I wanted to wear. He decided that he was going to do something other than what the host had authorized. And Jesus, as you look at how that chapter ends, as far as this story, verse 13, the man, just like the other people, was lost. If we don't follow the rule of God, we will be lost. That's God's promise to us. If we choose to submit to part of God's rule, as we find in Matthew 22, verses 8 through 13, we're going to be just as lost. We can't say, well, we recognize part of your authority, part of your rule, and we're going to do these things, but, well, we have better ideas when it comes to these items. And that's why, that's exactly why, the Bible talks about, when it deals with salvation, things like the narrow way. It says that few are going to be saved. Why? Because the authority of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, means being fully obedient to Jesus. The rule of God exists. And that rule means that we submit to God through conversion, the steps that He's authorized, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and then membership in the church created by Christ. Don't be, as you go through Adam and life, like Adam and Eve. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't be like those Old Testament Jews. Don't be like those Jews who rejected Christ. Don't be like the people in Matthew chapter 22. Submit to the rule of Christ when it comes to how to become a Christian. Submit to the rule of Christ when it comes to worship, church membership, and how to live. Because if you pursue, if we pursue any other course, we will be lost. The authority of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, is so important. And tonight, if we understand that authority, but we've not submitted to it, tonight you have a chance to do that. Can we baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Or are you someone who has become a Christian and for whatever reason you've decided that you're going to go out and live your way, do things as you want, and reject the authority of Christ? It won't work. A lot of people have tried it. Each one has failed. Tonight, do you need to somehow submit to the authority of Christ? If we can help you in that way or another, will you let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song?